What's up, guys? You're listening to the SSP Podcast. I am Sam Stroud. Today, we're going to be interviewing Natalie and Krista from the Rising Tide Society. Couple of things first. You'll notice it's just me, not Jeremy. Jeremy's gone. He's packed up. He's left. He's on his way to Portland. He'll be back next week. But for this episode, much like a couple episodes ago, he's not going to be a part of this. The second thing is we have a new sponsor. I want to talk to you about PixieSet. PixieSet is a dedicated online photo gallery for each of your clients with a beautiful cover photo and a beautiful layout right out of the box. Our clients love to share their photos, and PixieSet makes it super easy for them to do, which allows your brand, my brand, to be social and relevant right away. No more DVDs, no more USBs, just instant digital downloads for everybody with 24/7 support, best-in-class cloud hosting, and so many other features. PixieSet has become my favorite way to proof my images. Check them out at www.pixieset.com, and they will also be giving away free products, so make sure you sign up at our website. So head over to www.samstroudphoto.com, sign up on the newsletter, you'll get that information. All right, let's get started. Guys, hope you're having a good week. Mine's been really, really relaxed. I've not been doing much of anything. It's the slow season for me, so no weddings. I've been doing some shoots here and there, but I've been at the beach. I've been traveling. I did a really beautiful styled shoot down in Charlotte and then went to Charleston. That was a lot of fun. But I'm not doing anything, and I hope that you guys are relaxing because September, October for us, and I'm sure it's this way for you, is ridiculous. We have, I don't even know how many we have. I know we've got a couple weekends where we have, you know, 13, 14 weddings. It's just, it's silly. It's silliness, but I love doing it, so. Oh, and before we get started, I should note, we are hosting a workshop. We're calling it Unify Workshop 2015. It is going to be a lot of fun. The last few years, we've had an incredible response, a really great turnout. Again, head over to samstroudphoto.com/unify. You can check out that information. We're doing things a little bit different this year. We're going to have a styled shoot. We have a lot of product. We have a lot of sponsors to announce. But we're going to put a huge focus on the community aspect of how we do what we do, why we do what we do. When I say community aspect, I'm talking about creating a safe place where we can all come together and share ideas and bounce things off one another. But we're also going to take that time to share with you how we do things, how we've been successful over the last couple of years. So make sure you sign up. We have an early registration discount of, I believe it's up to like $200, $250, something like that. But go check that information out. It's online. Like I said before, samstroudphoto.com/unify, which is a really great segue into this interview, which I'm ready to get to anyway. The idea of continuing to talk to myself is incredibly awkward. And I don't have anybody to talk to here. And I don't know how many of you sit in a room and talk to yourself or just sort of explore ideas by yourself. But this is kind of foreign for me. So I want to get to the interview so that I can stop talking and spare you the pain of listening to me just drone on and on and on. This interview, we talked to Natalie and Krista. As I alluded to before, they are a part of or head up the Rising Tide Society, and they are partners in this venture. They are on their own wedding photographers, but together they run this organization, the Rising Tide Society. I don't know if you can call it an organization. I don't know what it's called. I don't know officially. It's a business. They're business partners together. And they also together run a wedding blog called Bayside Bride. They were super gracious to feature a couple weddings that I've shot in that area. It's Annapolis, the Annapolis area. But that brings up a good point too. They have so many things they're doing, and they talk a lot about how they manage their time, their energy, their resources to different projects that they're doing. Like I said, they are also wedding photographers on their own, but the focus of this interview was around the Rising Tide Society, which one day I'll keep this short. I woke up one day and I'm not afraid to admit, maybe I shouldn't admit this, but usually one of the first things I do is I grab my phone and I'll check my email. And then I go right to Instagram, right to Facebook. That's terrible. I'm not lying. It's usually the first thing I do. I open my eyes and I grab my phone. I'm addicted to my phone. Anyway, I jumped on Facebook and there was a huge explosion of posts about the Rising Tide Society. And I'd been invited to this online community and it just totally took me by surprise. The community itself is just that. It's a community connecting other photographers around the United States with other photographers. And in this online group, you see people posting, you know, questions about, hey, I'm having problems with this logo or this design. Can someone help me? Or whatever it is they're struggling in their business, either day-to-day or photography or whatever. It's something a little foreign to me. I'm not saying that I'm not helpful. I feel like I'm open. It's been modeled to me. It was modeled to me very early on. Somebody help me get started. And it's something that I try to do through mentorships, through workshops, and even one-on-ones with people who just ask me or email me. I try to be really, really open. But what I've noticed is Natalie and Krista have sort of captured the idea or essence of we need help. And the best way to get help is from other people who are doing it every single day. It's kind of that it takes a tribe, quote unquote, idea to get things moving in the right direction, to do this right. Natalie and Krista are both super honest. They're really upfront about a lot of things in this interview. I talked to them and kind of pressed a little bit about this idea of authenticity. We talk about how they manage their time. There's a lot in here. I need to get to it. I'm rambling at this point and it's not doing either of us any good. I do this in my client meetings. I'll talk to a new bride. She'll ask me a question and 12 minutes later, I'll give her the answer. Sort of the circular response about she's asking, oh, what does all day coverage mean? And then 13 or 14 minutes later, I'm doing it right now. All right, I'm gonna get to this interview. This is Natalie and Krista. Enjoy.
But they never wanna leave.
How long have you guys been friends or known each other?
Since 2011, is that right, Krista? 4 years.
4 years.
4 years. And how did you two meet?
Do you want the real story or do you want the story Krista tells everyone?
I want the story that Krista tells everyone.
Natalie, I feel like this joke isn't funny anymore.
It's gone on too long.
That we met on Match.com's Best Friend Finder was our joke for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Some people thought it was really a thing. But no, we met online. Just like I saw the Annapolis, Maryland Facebook page posting about her, and we were both living in Philly at the time, and I like turned to my coworkers and I was like, guys, like she's a photographer from Annapolis and we're both living here and she seems so nice. And so like I reached out to her and we just became friends through that. So yeah.
So you both were in Philly?
Yes.
Yes.
And you both moved to Annapolis?
We're both from Annapolis. So she was in school and my husband and I went to college up there and then he was in grad school at the time. So we both moved back to Annapolis within like a year, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. It was meant to be.
Yeah.
So yeah. And Natalie, you are a wedding photographer in, I mean, I keep saying Annapolis. You guys aren't exactly in Annapolis, right? Or are you just sort of in the surrounding areas?
Well, I mean, we are pretty much in Annapolis. I mean, I live about 2 minutes from like the border. So I'm in Arnold, but it's not too far. And then Crystal lives on the Eastern Shore. So she's probably like 10 minutes from Annapolis. So we kind of are, yeah. And I'm a wedding photographer there. I've been shooting weddings for a really long time. And when Krista and I actually met, like she mentioned, we were up in Philadelphia and I was finishing up my degree at Penn, and we just kind of connected. And literally, I think we met, hung out one time, and then ended up launching our first business together. Like within what, like a week, Krista? Like a week?
Of meeting each other or?
Well, yeah, like actually in person.
Oh, but yeah, I think the first time we met in person was to strategize launching a business together, but which is a little crazy.
what business was that?
That was our Bayside Bride, our wedding blog.
Okay.
I would never recommend anybody do that though. Like it could have gone so wrong.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing that like our friendship and like businesses together have worked out. So
that's funny. You do you know, I'm sure you know who Jennifer Olmsted is.
Yeah.
Okay. Her story of how she met her business partner is really, it's kind of hilarious. Like they just sort of met like on a forum or something like that, and he critiqued her work and she was like, I love this person, I want to start a business with him, I don't know him, but it's going to work and it's going to be amazing.
Ours was kind of like a damsel in distress moment, like where we really became close, because so Krista is a phenomenal web designer and graphic designer. And at the time, like she had emailed me in advance of, you know, our friendship blossoming. And my blog crashed one night, like, you know, typical panic moment, like website's down, blog's down. And it's like a Friday night at what, like 6. And I don't know anyone at that moment who was a web designer or who could help, but Krista had like casually mentioned that that's what she did. And so I emailed her like panicking about my blog, my website. She like calmed me down and like helped me through it. And we, you know, to be honest, like that is basically the entire history of our friendship, is like me breaking something or like freaking out about something and Krista just rescuing me like over and over and over again. And
you panic, Krista figures it all out.
Like to like this actual very day, like it's an ongoing.
It's true. But I think that's why we work so well. Is, you know, I'm like super emotional, like softy. I cry about everything. I get, you know, I'm super passionate about what I do. And Krista is equally as passionate, but she's got this like incredible gift to think rationally and like calm me down. And honestly, it's so funny, but we are kind of like perfect little compliments to one another, and I've been so blessed to be able to work with her.
That's really cool. Speaking of Bayside Bride, one of my brides, I think it was last year, said, hey, are you okay with me submitting this to Bayside Bride? And me being in Central Virginia, I had not heard of Bayside Bride up to that point. And I was like, yeah, absolutely, do it. And you guys published it. And then I thought, I don't want to say like a throwaway wedding because I don't mean it that way, but it was kind of like, well, I had shot like 2 or 3 weddings up there, like back to back. And I said, well, here's another really great couple. But right. The first wedding I shot was like way over the top. They obviously spent a ridiculous amount of money and you guys were super gracious to publish it. And the second one was a really neat couple. And I thought it would be cool if this was published too. I hope it does. And the irony of it was like, that was the one, I think I booked probably like 5 or 6 more weddings in that area because you guys published that wedding.
Wow. That's awesome to hear.
Yeah. And the first one, which I thought was like, again, way over the top. I didn't really get any feedback on at all. It was awesome. Yeah. But Bayside Bride, that's really neat. That's cool. I didn't know that you guys were a part of that.
Yeah. So we founded that. Yeah, we founded it in 2011, and actually we still technically own it as of this day, but we've been really lucky to have an editor kind of take on the majority of the tasks for us and run like a lot of the editorial side of things. So
yeah, it's you. So when you look for you two online, there are so many things connected to you two, which I find incredibly fascinating, because a lot of times you hear photographers and I don't necessarily roll my eyes or whatever, but I just kind of think in the back of my head when they say something to the degree of, well, gosh, I just don't have enough time to do this, this, or this. I think to myself, what are you doing with your time? And then I see what you guys are doing and I'm thinking, I'm not doing enough with my time.
No, don't feel that way. We have, I mean, I say this all the time because people joke with us and they're like, oh, you guys are like Wonder Women. And people say it all the time. And it's not true. I think that we have so many people helping us, you know, that it makes that burden a lot easier. And I think Krista is worth like three people, right? Like she is literally like three human beings in one. And she won't disagree with me because it's true. Like
because she knows it.
Yeah, she knows. She's so humble, she would never say it. But
well, okay, so Natalie's strength is definitely like communicating and like she's so great with people, whereas like I'm just really good at getting things done. And yeah, that's pretty much it. But yeah, we do have like Rising Tide has a team of seven right now. And we have interns and like so many people helping us. And so I know it looks like we're doing a lot, but really we just have a great support system behind us.
See, yeah. You just do what I do. You have a ton of work to do and you just hand it off to a bunch of interns. I don't have that many interns, but I still think it's impressive. I think, again, you know, you and Krista, you both are photographers, wedding photographers. And I mean, I'm assuming you're probably shooting in the 20s, 30s, 40 weddings a year, right?
Yeah, 38 this year.
That's amazing. And you guys are not together on that. It's you guys are operating your own wedding photography business, right?
Yeah, totally separate.
And then you have Rising Tide, mm-hmm. which I want to talk about in a second because that's blowing my mind as of late. And then are you guys connected at all to the Creative at Heart?
Yeah, we're speakers.
Okay. I didn't know if that was like your thing and I was like, man, they've got something else rolling here or is it just something you guys speak at?
Yeah, we speak at it. It's a really cool conference for creatives. So we've been really honored to be a part of that.
That's really cool. That's really neat. Yeah. And then on top of that, obviously all of the weddings you're shooting. So I guess I'm curious, like, what do you tell photographers at that point, you know, who are like, I don't have the time for this, or how do I manage my time? I mean, what are you guys doing to manage your time?
I think one of the big things and one of the game changers for me personally has been kind of twofold. First, outsourcing elements of my business that I am not the fastest at, you know, and I mean, accounting, I have a phenomenal, I have both an accountant who does all my monthly stuff and then a CPA at the end of the year who like double checks on the accountant. And all the way through editing now this year, I've got a really awesome editor who does most of my post-processing for weddings. So that's been good. But then also on the flip side, like the more that you do, the faster you get at it. So just being super efficient, like really, really, really efficient, highly efficient when it comes to emailing and setting timers and not going on social media unless it's scheduled. And I almost feel like Krista's even better at this. You probably have some really good suggestions.
Yeah, so I have figured out what my best work hours are and they're really early in the morning, which like sounds crazy, but between like 6 a.m. and 9 a.m., no one else is up and no one's emailing me and I can just get a ton of work done at that point. Also with shooting film, it takes me like less than an hour to edit a session. So that helps a lot. I mean, the images pretty much just come back perfect.
Yeah, that's great.
So there's that. And gosh, my husband actually just did a post about this for Rising Tide on Monday. But we set like break points for our tasks. So like every day at lunch, we took the dogs for a walk. So we know we have to like cram and get a bunch of stuff done before 12. And then the afternoons are like, we don't schedule morning meetings. And so like afternoons when we hit our low, like that 2 p.m. like post-lunch slump, that's when we'll take our meetings. And then we go to the gym at 4 almost like every weekday. And that's another like great stopping point because like you can hurry up and get all sorts of stuff done because you know that you have to go to the gym and like get that in. And that's your last chance of the day. And that's been really helpful too.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. That for me, those breaking points, it's revolutionized the way that I work throughout the day. Last year was a huge growth period for us. And going into this year, having so many photographers that work for me and all of these weddings that we shoot, I find, you know, you're talking about early morning, like even before I have two young boys, before they go to school, I'm knocking out any of the, you know, quick, dirty email tasks that I can get taken care of in that hour, hour and a half before they leave. And then I've got a gym stopping point. And then I know after about 1:30, I'm kind of pointless. So
yeah.
I'm not going to get much done when it comes to being around or sitting. So usually, like, I, you know, I schedule these podcasts in the afternoon because that I get to talk to people, generally wedding photographers. We're sitting at home, not talking to anybody. So that's when I get to talk to people, is in the afternoon.
The afternoons are really where, for me as well, it kind of like slows down.
Yeah, it really does. And I also, that's when I schedule, like, I've got 2 or 3 meetings this afternoon and a shoot. The shoots help too. That's, you know, that's great. I can get actually get outside other than the gym. That's when I can get outside and go be a functioning part of society for a little bit. It's fantastic. But I want to talk now about this rising tide thing, which, again, I might be super late to the game. And part of it is because, let me back up. I've made a very, very concerted effort over the last year and a half, 2 years, to completely shut off whatever's happening in the industry, the wedding industry. And the part of it is because of my own insecurities. And part of it is because I feel like I want to be focused on certain things and inspired by certain things. And recently somebody invited me to this Tuesday Together. Is that it? Tuesdays Together? I'm sorry. That's terrible.
Yes.
Anyway, I totally like was taken by surprise by it because it's a local, you know, quote unquote chapter in our community that I was like, oh, this is kind of neat. Like, what are we getting together and doing? And, you know, I'm sure you get this all the time. Business leaders want to get together and they want to talk, and you go to them and you're like, this is ridiculous. I don't want to sit around and just talk about nothing. But these groups are becoming like very productive, very close. And it totally took me by surprise because of the context that I just gave you. And that's part of this rising tide, which you guys have created.
Right. Yes.
So what's the, give me like, what is the point and purpose for the listener? Like, what is it about rising tide that's important?
So rising tide, like when you break it down all the way to sort of the essence of it, it's essentially a community that's designed to both empower and educate creative entrepreneurs to thrive in the spirit of community over competition. So the idea that, you know, yes, we all compete in the same markets. I mean, you're literally talking to two photographers who price around the same number in a small town,
yeah.
Right? So Krista and I, in a lot of ways, people would argue that we are literally the biggest competitors against each other, like when you know, break down everything. And for us, like what we just found over the years is that instead of trying to focus that energy in a negative manner to compete, if you actually focus it the opposite way and say, hey, how can we actually support each other? How can we send referrals to one another? If I'm struggling with something, she has come to my aid so many times. And whenever I discover a new tip or trick about, you know, editing or social media or marketing, like I'm sharing that with her. We've noticed that by doing that, you know, a lot of people would argue, oh, being friends with your competitor, that's bad business. But our businesses have exploded. And we've found that by really being open and supportive of one another, we not only are succeeding more financially, but more importantly, we feel more fulfilled by what we're doing. And so we essentially wanted to take that concept and try to kind of apply it to the full creative industry and also unite groups of people that really haven't had that opportunity to talk to one another. So photographers with makers, do like people who literally create like jewelry or design clothing, like that idea that there is some kind of fabric that exists between all of us. And there are certain areas of business growth and business strategy that a lot of creatives are not naturally gifted in. And I know because I'm one of them. So to be able to kind of bring in certain topics every month to talk about them across the world as a creative community and to do it on a local level that is authentic and genuine, that's the ultimate goal of Rising Tide. And so we started with the Tuesdays Together gatherings and we really did. Krista can attest to this. We thought there'd be 5. We said there will be 5 gatherings this summer. We had called some of our closest friends, and then that idea kind of hopped around, and one friend told another, and then before we knew it, I think we launched with 12.
We launched but I think that within a week we had it. Originally, we were just going to accept applications and then like immediately give people kits to like start groups. But I think we had like 50 applications around the country within a week. So we realized that like our original strategy wasn't going to work.
Yeah, that's great. Well, here's how I know that it's a really great thing. The market that I'm in is, I mean, it's as saturated as any other market. I think you hear that across the board, but the fact that there is one in our market, and I do believe that there are creatives, and this is part of the reason why I've sort of shunned that idea, is there are people in our community who don't like you because you're successful, but there is that group of people who just want to connect and they just want to know, hey, am I doing this right? Am I doing it wrong? Or they want to gain something from people who are doing it right. And I love that you guys have tapped into that.
Yeah, I think also like just being a creative entrepreneur, it can be so lonely. It can be so isolating to work for yourself, be your own boss, sit at a computer for most of the day and feel incredibly just alone. And so, you know, we also kind of wanted to tackle that problem and really get people together, get them out of their offices, you know, and create a community that also feels welcoming, because there are so many of us who are introverted or who would be nervous to kind of attend a big giant thing, and to make them smaller, to make them local. It just allows people to feel like they belong and to give them somewhere where they can really be, you know, a part of something bigger. And so we found it to be really successful too at kind of overcoming that loneliness of entrepreneurship.
Another thing that I guess especially when we were getting started, we were reaching out to other people to have coffee with them and like the big name photographers in our area, and ask if we could second shoot with them, you know, especially me. And a lot of people said no. And I feel like what there used to be this like this really big divide between like the successful photographers or successful creatives in an area and the people who are just getting started. And there's no way for that, like the newer photographers, to reach out and really get a chance to sit down and talk with those more successful people. And so Abby Grace even talked about this in a video she shared in our group yesterday, but just like having a chance to sit down and meet them has been huge. So we wanted that to like bridge the gap between that.
Yeah, and to do it in a way that makes sense for those leaders, because also now, like, as our businesses have grown, like, we do get so many of those requests to grab coffee, and Sam, I'm sure you get them too. It's just not feasible, whether you have a family or a husband, all the time, you know. And so for me, like, and Krista, like, this was our opportunity to also get these big leaders to just, you know, one day a month to sit in the same room with someone who maybe even hasn't launched their business yet, and to just have that kind of open conversation and community and to kind of allow both sides to really benefit from one another.
Yeah, the struggle that I see often, well, with me is I started 5 years ago, and I was very, very fortunate to link up with a guy who basically just said, look, I'm going to show you how this works, and I'm going to give you the playbook, and I think if you really put some time and effort into it, you could be successful at it. And fortunately, we've had a lot of success over the last 5 years, but I've also experienced those moments that you're like, gosh, I really need help with this. And you contact somebody and they just look at you like, what do you want from me? And I, you know, I've said to them even before, like, look, all I want is just a little bit of help. I'll get you coffee. I'll carry your cameras, whatever it takes, I'll do that. And so I get that now. And the struggle sometimes is, you know, I'm looking at September, where we're about to shoot, you know, 20, 30, 40 weddings over the next 30 days. And I'm thinking, I don't have the time to help you. I want to help you. But what's great is now I can point them to this group, to this organization.
Yes, absolutely.
So what is the, to help me though understand, what's the difference between, if there is a difference between the people that meet on Tuesdays? It's every Tuesday, first Tuesday of the month.
And then second Tuesday, but yeah.
Second Tuesday, and then Rising Tide.
Okay, yeah. So Rising Tide essentially is sort of the house for Tuesdays Together. So Tuesdays Together are just the gatherings. Rising Tide Society, though, as a whole, also involves a blog, a Facebook group, challenges. Like, we just did an Instagram challenge that was really fun and crazy. I mean, so crazy, Sam, we came up with a hashtag, My Monday Mugshot. I would encourage no one to look it up now. It went trending on Instagram. It became the second most hashtag like trend that day. So it reached number two. But when that happened, it got taken over by spammers and then eventually by bodybuilders that interpreted mugshot to mean a photograph of themselves, like a selfie, right? Not a mugshot, like a mug, a cup of coffee.
Oh, so yeah, nice.
There were other hashtags last week that were number one without being like our community over competition one and Rising Tide Challenge. And I think that Follow Fridays was trending, or no, Friday Introductions was trending, but it was number one. But yeah, it was like the whole week was just crazy.
Yeah, that's incredible. And that's frustrating that your hashtag was taken over.
Yeah, but it was funny. I mean, I think, you know, Rising Tide as a whole kind of is sort of the umbrella. So it houses sort of all the different resources that we're able to offer in order to fulfill our mission. And so, yeah, like Tuesdays Together, it kind of just falls under that. That's the meeting once a month, the second Tuesday of the month, all across the world. And that gets people to actually get together in person. And then the other, like all the other things kind of just fall in line with that. And as Rising Tide grows, like those roles and what the community wants, like hopefully we'll be able to grow as well.
Some of these photographers, they come to my workshop or whatever, they'll ask questions, you know, like, hey, how are we supposed to handle, you know, the weekend warrior? Sometimes I see these photographers, you know, they're being successful and I feel like my work is better. Sometimes my answer is like, look, if it's that bad for you, you shouldn't look. I think you guys are a great example of this because you're best friends. So how do you handle that when those questions come to you?
Krista, if you want to take
it. So are you asking work-life balance questions or just feel discouraged because you see others who are so successful?
That idea of comparison. I know for me, and I'll throw this out there. For me, the idea of comparison, you know, I kind of joked earlier about my own insecurity, but for me, it's sort of a driving, it can get negative, but it is kind of a driving force to keep and remain relevant. But I also understand that there are people who are listening that's resonating, like that really, really bothers me and I don't know what to do about it.
So, I mean, that is really one of the reasons why Tuesdays Together exists. I mean, like both Natalie and I, like we've been through times where we just sit there on our computers, like alone in our offices and compare ourselves to all these other people who are out there. And it's so easy to see like, oh, so-and-so is doing this workshop and so-and-so is featured here, whatever their like creative industry is, and to think that you'll never get there, or like you're not doing enough. And so we're like, our goal with Tuesdays Together was to help people realize that they are enough and that they don't need to be doing every single thing that they see their friends doing. And also just like getting out of your house and meeting with other people and hearing that they have the same struggles that you do. That's been huge for us. And then similar to you, Sam, I don't sit on Instagram all day. I post in the morning and I comment on a few and then I get off because I find it so, I don't know, it's so easy to get in that funk and be like, wow, like my work doesn't look like that, or like I'll never be this. And so that's just not productive or beneficial.
Yeah.
And
go ahead, Natalie.
Oh, sorry. No, I just want to add one thing. So even like the whole movement, like the whole concept, like literally started with a post that was called Overcoming Comparison. That's literally what started it. And so I'm with you as well. And with Krista, I think no one's immune to this. And I think actually that's a really good point to make too, is you can look at any leader in your industry that you idolize, that you put on a pedestal, that you think is incredible. And I can promise you at one point or another, if not right now, they are still struggling with that comparison monster. Like it's not something that really I believe will ever completely go away, because we are artists and we are striving, you know, as business owners as well, to be creating, to be like you said, staying relevant, to kind of like look around and say, oh, well, let me see what's going on in the world. And I think the biggest thing that I would recommend too is like, don't look outward, look inward. So like, don't compare yourself to other people, only compare yourself to the person you were yesterday.
And I have tried so hard in my business to do that because it is easy to fall into that trap of like just looking outward. So like looking in and going, well, my work when I first started looked nothing like this. I may not be where I want to be, but I've made incredible strides and I am so proud of them. And again, like getting offline, like turning off the computer, turning off Instagram, getting off Facebook and meeting people in person, I can tell you it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder to compare yourself and idolize someone when you actually get to know them and you realize they're real human beings and they have real struggles just like you, and you talk about it with them over coffee, right? Like it becomes this human to human experience that I think honestly is like one of the most incredible ways to overcome sort of that struggle that so many of us go through.
I have a mentor photographer, or a photographer who's a mentor. I don't meet or talk to him all the time, but I was talking to him a few weeks ago and just bouncing some ideas off of him. And to hear him say to me, this guy is incredibly established, incredibly well known. And to hear him say to me, I'm just really struggling with being inspired right now. I was like, wow, welcome to my personal hell. And I think it speaks to what you're saying. We could go online right now and access so many beautiful photos within seconds and instantly realize, oh my gosh, I'm not that great. Or you can go meet with people who are your peers and in the industry and doing what you're doing and grinding it out every day and realize, you know, like what you guys just said, we're in this together. Like, let's figure this out. This isn't a zero sum game. Like, right. My success doesn't mean you are not successful, and your success doesn't mean I'm not successful. It actually could mean that we are both successful.
Right. Absolutely.
Why do you think that's interesting too? I just was thinking about this as you guys were talking. Why do you think that's so successful? Do you just think it is something that everybody struggles with?
I mean, I think it's, first of all, I think it's human nature to struggle with comparison. I mean, I think, we are internally designed. I should have probably told you in the beginning, my focus, Krista's going to make fun of me, I'm a big nerd too, but my focus was in neuroscience and psychology.
What?
Yeah.
So actually, you are like super, super smart.
No, I wouldn't say smart. I would say nerdy, and I wear it like a badge of honor. But one of the big things, my whole thesis actually was on this idea that, you know, we are, especially our generation, right? Like this time period we're living in, I believe comparison is worse than any other time period, not because we're different as human beings, but because we are bombarded with it every single day, everywhere we look, from magazine covers of photoshopped women, right? Like on the cover of a magazine, and you have young girls growing up that look at that, and our visual system, like you may know that it's Photoshop, but our visual system is not designed to differentiate a Photoshopped image from a real one. And so you may say, oh, I see that it's Photoshop, or I know it is, but you actually will consume that image to be truth, because we do see photographs as reality, right? Within reason, but within reason. And I think that being on Instagram, like Facebook, Twitter, we are such a visual society and a visual culture that in order to be a successful business owner, you kind of, for the most part, you know, there are exceptions, but you've got to be online, you've got to be on social media, you've got to be marketing yourself. And that comes with seeing all of these other creatives that are doing similar things to you, but maybe doing it better. And that can apply to anything. That can apply to being, you know, looking for your style sense, or what food you're cooking for dinner, or if you're like me, the lack of food you're cooking for dinner. you know, and that comparison monster like exists because it's such a visual culture, and it's a culture of what goes viral, and a culture of what is the prettiest, or what is the most aesthetically pleasing, or what is the best looking. And I think that it can just get so overwhelming that that's why like stripping that all away and just putting boundaries to guard your heart, like saying, I'm not going to look at Instagram after this time, or I'm only going to give myself a certain amount of time throughout the day to even look at social media as a whole. It just protects you from that bombardment of over stylized, over perfected, over photoshopped images that exist not only on social media, but kind of just everywhere.
Yeah. You know, Abby Grace, who we interviewed earlier, she talked about something very similar. She's very, very limited interaction on Instagram because of that very thing. And she tells a story about how she was in England with her husband having this amazing trip that they had planned, but yet she was finding herself getting down because she was seeing other people's photos and what they were doing or what they were posting. And I've done that before, or I've even been on the receiving end of that, where you know, you post maybe one or two images a day, maybe one every other day. And just yesterday, somebody said to me, man, you are everywhere. Where do you not go? And I'm thinking, I've been here for the last like week. What are you talking about? Like, I haven't gone anywhere. I've been in my room editing. That's what I've been doing.
Right. And there's a difference too between like the life you have online and the life you really live. And I think that like that differentiating factor, like people don't recognize that, like you just said, Sam, you're sitting in your office working, like grinding it out, like literally answering emails, scheduling blog posts, answering client inquiries. But if you post two Instagrams, you're not going to post two Instagrams of you, you know, with your hair a mess and your fourth cup of coffee sitting there trying to get a wedding finished. Like, we feature these highlights of our lives because it is good business and it inspires people and it lifts people up. But there's that fine line where people don't get to see behind that screen, right? Like, they're not seeing what really is going on or how long it takes to make these weddings look the way they do, right? It's not this instant, oh, I shot a wedding. Here is the entire gallery. It's done. It's perfect. There were no problems. Like, the timeline went amazing. Everyone was perfect. Like, that's not real life. And I do think that, you know, it is so easy to forget that. It's so easy to look at that highlight reel, as people always say, and forget, like, number one, that it's a highlight reel. Number two, that there are hard behind the scenes. And number three, that not everyone's at the same place in their journey. So, you know, I'll look at a photographer who's been doing this for 20 years and say, oh, why aren't I understanding this? Or why am I not getting this result? And, you know, you fail to recognize, oh, I'm just in the middle of my journey. I'm nowhere near where they are. And, you know, I think that it can be easy to get lost in all that.
And I think that's why Two Suits Together has grown so quickly. Mm-hmm. I don't know, especially like in this age of internet where we don't get out as much and we do spend hours in front of a computer screen editing. People just like crave that authenticity. And the groups are just exploding. And even in the Annapolis group, there are photographers and like creatives who I remember, like, they were, I don't know, like, I really looked up to them when I was getting started. And so to have them come to the group and hear that they're struggling with things too, like, that's just so humbling. And just reaffirming that we're all in this together and that, like, no one is perfect and no one's business is quite what it seems when you just look at their Instagram feed or their website.
As photographers and people who pay attention to what you do, and, you know, if people are paying attention to what I'm doing, we're talking about, and I do this too, it's part of our mentorship program, where it's basically something that I send them and something they see that's like, look, my failures and successes are going to be your failures and successes. I want to basically do for you what was done for me. But do you feel any, I don't want to say guilt, because guilt's not the right word, but do you feel like, well, I have to play this game of producing and showing and displaying the right stuff on Instagram and Facebook, otherwise it won't work? Do you feel a little bit of pull one way or the other on that? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we're talking about being authentic, but at the same time, I don't necessarily want to show, well, gosh, I failed at that miserably.
Well, there's a difference. Oh, sorry. Do you want to go first, Krista, and then I'll jump?
Yeah, sure. I think we're going to see the same thing, that there's like a difference between showing, like, I don't know, you sitting in your yoga pants, like crying because you like had an awful day. And like,
I was in my yoga pants this morning crying.
I knew you were.
And like, I don't know, like Instagramming a photo of like a coffee cup on your desk and like saying, hey, it's been a crazy week. This is my fourth cup, but like, we're going to get through this. So like, there's like that level of authenticity and like showing that like, you're not perfect and you struggle with things too. And like showing like the whole like real deal. And I don't know, I feel like my followers, and I know Natalie probably feels like the same way, I feel like I get so much more engagement on my posts when I'm like real and authentic and show snippets of my life. And I don't just post like the beautiful wedding bouquets all the time. Cause like, those get likes, but like photos of like day behind our lives and like what we're doing and like sharing struggles, like those probably have a lot more engagement than anything else.
Yeah. And I think too, like, just to piggyback off of that, I think, you know, there's also this, the word authentic is kind of like a big word right now. I don't want to say it's trendy, but it is a word that I just keep hearing a lot. And I think it arises from us like craving it. I think it arises from us feeling like these feelings of comparison, like we talked about, and going like, well, I'm the only one. I have to be the only one going through this. And so we almost crave this authenticity sort of to fulfill that desire to know that we're not alone. And I think, though, too, it's important to keep in mind that, like, there has to be a barrier between, you know, there's personal authenticity, which would be like just being completely open and honest about everything. But then there also has to be this like professional authenticity, right? Like this kind of membrane or like filter that exists between the personal and the professional. Because, you know, although there are things that we'd want to share with other creatives, you have to keep in mind that for a lot of photographers specifically and a lot of business owners, like their primary audience are clients. And so, I mean, unless they're truly just teaching workshops and just educating, like their primary audience is interested in seeing like their work and their portfolio. And so it's this interesting balance, and it has to be kind of this delicate process, I think, of sharing who you are and sharing, like Krista said, like what you're struggling with in a professional manner again, because, you know, I don't ever want a bride to run away and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that Natalie is, you know, behind on answering her email. She must not be very professional. She must not be, you know, efficient enough. I mean, I think it's good that they know that I'm human. And that's why I share those struggles, like, you know, the glimmers of them and kind of the behind the scenes. Because again, they need to know I'm human. But I also think it's important not to share like, oh, I have dirty dishes in the sink that I haven't even had time to clean. And my dogs really need a bath right now. And I think that, you know, my car has a crack in the windshield that I still haven't gotten fixed in a month. And like, those are all real things. Like, I'm literally telling you things about my life, but I also don't think my couples want to know all that, right? Like other professionals, yes, it might make them feel better, but my couples, they don't want to see that. They shouldn't see that side. That side is something that no other corporation would be asked to share, right? Like, we almost hold small business owners and creatives to a different standard. And so I think we're all just kind of trying to navigate that. And I don't know if there is a right answer. I think that, you know, I never feel guilty, I don't think, about anything that I share. I think it's all about the balance, like striking that balance, finding that balance, and being able to both be professional and be authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great answer. I thought you answered that really well, actually. I know for me, it is a delicate balance. I was curious what you guys thought of that. I sometimes feel guilty. I do. I mean, honestly, I'm like, man, I'm telling these people. Somebody actually, this is what sparked that thought. I was telling somebody, I had lunch with this person, and I was doing this, and I was doing that, I was doing this, and they made the comment like, well, it's easy for you to think that things are going really well, because things for you are going really, really, really well. And I was like, well, gosh, that's a punch in the gut. Thanks for making me feel bad about myself. But anyway, well, I don't want to, you know, take up too much of your time. This has been awesome. It's been cathartic for me, honestly. That's been, it's great. I think, you know, and it's sort of, again, it goes to what you guys are talking about with, you know, this whole movement. And I feel like it has really, it's become a movement. Every time I open up Facebook, it's there. I see it. Somebody's posting something. And I think that's fantastic. And I was asked, asked me to join the group. This is my one complaint. Can we get some dudes in there, please?
Yes, RT Shark Pack represent. We're guys. Like, we absolutely do.
I saw Jordan was in there, you know, representing, but I think literally there was probably like five guys who commented on it. I was like, okay, come on. There has to be more than five of us in this whole country doing this. Come on.
So this is our casting call then. All creative dudes, we need you as a part of the rising tide.
Absolutely. Can we get on that?
Yeah.
Walking on the water while I was drowning underneath. I just like any other dog pulling me into the deep. Cold as it is, I wouldn't leave my baby dog. Cold as it is, I wouldn't leave. Cold as it is, I wouldn't leave my baby dog. My big dog, I wouldn't leave. Your name was written on the apple. I carved my name into that tree. Your cobra, darling, it
my baby doll. I wouldn't leave.